Welcome to the Living in Lithuania podcast. Join me, Austė, in conversation with internationals who have found themselves living here in Lithuania. To keep the conversation going, let's connect on the Living in Lithuania Facebook or Instagram pages, where you can also find out about the latest episodes and more. So, hi Matt.
Hello.
Or Mathieu, I don't know how to...
Mathieu in French.
Mathieu. So, hi. Welcome to the podcast. Really happy to have you on. The first question I actually want, well, the first story I want you to tell is kind of the reason why you're on the podcast, Caroline. She introduced me to you just via Facebook and shared a little bit. So it was like an introduction that you have a very interesting story to tell about the first time you came to Lithuania. Mm-hmm. So I was wondering maybe you could share that first and then we'll move on to the rest.
Yes. So the first time I came in Lithuania was 1997, and I was a young teenager, and it's scary to think that it's been 26 years, but still. So the context is a friend of my family, an older man who has passed away a long time ago now. He was organizing trips every year for his family and friends, and he would gather a group and choose a destination somewhere in Europe. They went to Ireland, Spain, Poland, everywhere. Mm-hmm. And one day he met a priest, a Lithuanian priest in Brussels, in the Brussels Theological Institute, something like this. And he said, oh, I will ask him maybe to organize something with me there. Okay. And that's how he organized this. And in August, we went 3 weeks with some cousins, some friends, uncle, aunts, and very scattered group, very very unique. And we spent 3 weeks in Antalepte.
We were based
in Antalepte, and then we moved, of course, everywhere. And somehow I fell in love with the country. I don't know why. It was a few years after the independence, so this priest had lots of stories to tell that would please a teenager's mind and ears. His name is Algirdas Doknis. Now he's in Panevėžys, the region of Panevėžys. And he made us discover the whole country, told us many stories. It was beautiful summer, sunny, the lakes everywhere. So what was not to love?
And it's the best to fall in love with Lithuania in the summer.
Yeah, exactly.
Around the lake.
Now I'm discovering the winter's different.
Yeah.
No, so I kept coming back over the years, and eventually I moved in last 2 years ago.
Okay, so tell me a bit more about that. First of all, maybe a little bit of where you're from, and then how you ended up moving here.
So, good question. I'm from Belgium, the French-speaking part of Belgium, the south, the region of Charleroi. The Lithuanians know because there is an airport.
I've been to this Ryanair airport.
Ryanair was there.
Yeah.
So, south of Charleroi, it's a beautiful region. That's where I'm from. And so, yeah, I came back in Lithuania many times with scouts. I sold this project to many people, and many scouts came to Lithuania. But this priest, Algirdas, had moved to Naujamiestis, which is close to Panevėžys. Berčiūnai, maybe you know the church of Berčiūnai. It's a very beautiful little church where he was based for the still until now, and where my wife's family, my future wife's family, was living. So that's how they met. And when I went to meet him again, I met my wife's father, my wife's brother, mother, and everybody. But she was not there. She was living in Japan. And so I never met her.
Okay.
And years after years, we became friends with Justinas. And I came here for his wedding eventually in 2016. Of course, his sister came back from Japan for the wedding. We met again, because the real story is that we met once, 5 years before, just one evening, but nothing happened, and we just talked, and we have pictures together, and that's it. But 5 years later, we connected very, very well, and then she went back to Japan, and eventually we kept in touch, we Skyped, we talked a lot, and then she moved back to Belgium, and we had a little daughter who is here.
Yeah.
And we moved in Vilnius in November 2021.
Okay, so during pandemic years.
Yeah, just after, yeah. We were in Belgium when Lucia was born, and during the pandemic. And it was a very cozy family time. And then, well, other than that, my wife had lived altogether 18 years outside the country, so she really wanted to come back. And me, I really wanted to live here. It was one of my oldest dreams.
Okay.
I never knew if it would come true. I never did anything for it special, but it just turned out that, of course, this connection has really guided my steps for many years. And I was happy that both of us we could decide to do that.
Oh, no, that's very nice. Because yeah, usually the story is, nope, you don't know anything about Lithuania. And then your significant other wants to move. And it's like, okay, what is this place? But you had a completely different story.
Yeah, it's almost me who pushed a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
She was more afraid. She never had an experience of her adult life here.
Yeah.
And voilà. Lithuania is not always an easy place to live as we think when we are from outside and we come here to visit. On holiday, it looks fantastic, everything is cool, everything is beautiful, nature. But then when you live here, it's just like anywhere else. You have to do your own thing, you have to work, you have to pay the bills, you have to raise your child, and the grass is not greener. Although, in some parts of Lithuania, I think the grass is greener than anywhere else.
No, it's beautiful, like the nature and everything as well. And I guess in Belgium it's a bit more like urbanized and less.
There's more people.
Yeah.
It's one of the highest density in the world, actually. So it's like one big village. There's there are cities, not super big, outside Brussels and Antwerp. There's like a few, just like Lithuania. But the rest of the land is very crowded with little villages. So it's pretty, it can be very beautiful too. But here there are there's more space, more forest. You can go deeper in nature. So it's actually similar. I always found many common points between Lithuania and Belgium. Even the shape of the country is almost the same.
Yeah.
We have the sea on the northwest and the forest on the southeast. And it's interesting.
Yeah, many similarities. Okay, so then you arrived in Lithuania and you say you have to find a job and other activities. So maybe you can share a bit. So I know you started this choir. Maybe you can share a bit about that, how you ended up doing this. And
Well, yeah, that's how I met Caroline, who is a member of the choir since last year. I'm a musician, so in Belgium I studied something else, but 10 years ago I became a professional musician, mostly Vargoninenkas, organist in church. That was my paid job, and then I played for many, many projects, including many choirs. With my piano, I accompany lots of choirs, and I love it. I was part of orchestra as well, but it's hard to start an orchestra.
Oh, yeah.
But to start a choir, you can just gather anyone who wants to sing. You don't need any musical knowledge to be part of a choir. Everybody who likes to sing can join. So I tried once, I tried twice, it didn't work, and then I met one, two, three people who asked me if there is something. I said, okay, let's go, let's do it.
Okay.
And it worked. So we started in March last year. I call this the Garfunkels, from the Simon and Garfunkel.
Yeah.
I'm a very big fan of them, so it was obvious. I have curly hair that doesn't show on the radio, but maybe I look a little bit like Garfunkel. From the back. And I called it the International Choir of Vilnius because it did not exist yet.
Yeah.
So it attracted lots of people like me, expats, I was telling you, diplomats, people who work in the European Union institutions, or Erasmus students, all kind of people who are here for a long time or just temporarily. And we gathered last year 20, 25 people regularly on our weekly rehearsal. At least the last concert of, well, the first concert, which was the end of the year in June, we were about 20 on stage.
Okay, nice.
Altogether, we already gathered something like 17 nationalities.
Wow.
Okay. Kids that showed up once to the choir. And we just restarted the second season here in August. Of course, it's holiday, not many people, but I hope to gather 25, 30 people starting in September and to improve, because last year we just had the time to learn 6 or 7 songs.
Mm-hmm.
We did a super cool concert. Many people. It was very, very nice. We do that at the Vilnius Dailės Akademija in the center.
Oh, okay.
Close to St. Anne Church. So anyone who would like to join is, of course, welcome. You don't need any knowledge. We work on the music sheets, but we don't need to read music. But we learn along the way. And looks like people are having lots of fun because they keep coming back.
So, yeah, that's a good sign.
Yeah.
And you already had a concert only after a few months of doing...
It's magic, the result. I never believe it. We had rehearsal yesterday. It's amazing what people can do in the first time. People just join, and then they try, and then it needs to work a little bit together. And then, I don't know, the energy just... it's like... is weaving something unique at that moment, and it works, and it becomes people become aware that they can achieve something beautiful together, even if they had never tried before. And so that's how the concert happened. It just turned out to be very, very cool. Of course, it's not yet perfect, but for most of us are pure beginners, amateur. People join for 10, 12, 8, 5 rehearsals. Yeah. It's nothing. And it worked. So nobody should be afraid of joining this kind of group.
Yeah, so all the listeners can find out about it more. I think on Facebook you're just Vilnius International Choir.
The Garfunkels.
The Garfunkels.
International Choir of Vilnius.
Okay, so yeah, people can look that up after the episode. And you say you play mostly in for work, then you play mostly in churches?
Yes. First I learned. Then I played for orchestras and I had a band, you know, like all musicians. But then, yes, I wanted to be really an artist. So I started learning music when I was a child. And then I improved. I loved it more and more. I learned piano first, then saxophone, trombone, guitar, like everyone, tuba. So I enjoyed it very much. I was in a band, writing texts mostly. But, you know, like everyone who likes music, I had this kind of passion and doing many things. But one day I wanted to really do that as a professional job. So I quit my job and I took what we called in Belgium the artistic status, so I could be a little bit helped to start. And I found some jobs in churches. And so for more than 10 years, I played in many church, beautiful buildings, actually. The oldest church of Belgium, which is 12 centuries old this year.
Wow.
It was amazing. So mostly I was playing church every day.
Okay.
I miss it, actually. I wouldn't think I would miss it, but I miss that. It was pleasant, quiet, useful, because you play lots of... lots of important moments for people, like weddings or funerals and stuff like this. And then when you are a professional musician, you don't have lots of opportunities to say no, unless you are you are really lucky to play in an orchestra that pays you everything. So you say yes to everything. And so I played for choirs, for a symphonic band, for a jazz band. In the street, we had a little street band called the Wild Rovers. Irish jazz, whatever. So, and then I was a little bit burned because I played a lot and I was happy to take a break. But after a few months, 1 year here in Vilnius, I just missed it so much. So I'm super happy that every week I can have fun first myself and then communicate this fun to others. And it works. Our choir, we have two objectives, is joy and beauty. So we say we have to have fun, that's the first thing, but not just for no result. The goal is to achieve something beautiful and to try to improve and to really discover how wonderful it can be when we sing together. And so that's what we do, joy and beauty.
So then when you came to Lithuania, so you didn't first you took a break and then you started to look for work, for music work, or you're still taking a break now?
I think to have job in music you need the network, so first we have to build our own network, friends, and so I've met musicians, but it's not enough to I wanted to do music since the beginning, and I've met musicians here. But to work professionally, you really need a big network so that people can call you and you can join projects, people talk about you, that I don't have, of course. So I had to look for another job completely unrelated mm-hmm. that I'm doing now. But in the back of my head, there is always this little voice calling me and this dream to one day be able to go back to that full time.
Mm.
So choir, actually, I was not expecting it would work so well. And it does, so I'm very enthusiastic to continue in this path. I might have already some choirs for young people in the French Lycée.
Oh,
the okay. Lycée International Français de Vilnius.
Mm.
They asked me, so I think I'm in the program for this year, but I still have to
okay.
to organize.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. So mm-hmm. opportunities are starting to,
yes.
to come. Yeah, I mean, everything takes time, I guess, and especially in such an industry.
Yeah.
Find
and then you go to festival concerts, people know, call you back. Then eventually they find out that you play saxophone and they will ask you again. And now I think it will be all right.
Yeah, of course, of course. I think there's many opportunities. It's just, yeah, the beginning is always mm-hmm. the hardest. But it seems like you're on a good track. So you'll get there. It won't be another year and you'll be like fine doing it.
I believe you.
So you do also have a daughter. I wanted to ask you, how do you find like raising a kid in Lithuania? How is that?
It's beautiful. Lucia is wonderful. She's learning both languages since the very beginning. So she lived 3 years in Belgium. And now when we moved, she started kindergarten here.
Mm-hmm.
That was not the easiest part because you need to find a place. And, of course, we had to go to private kindergarten because it was the only place left for us.
Yeah.
But she found an amazing one called Pažinimo Medis. I really can't tell the name because it's a very, very nice place.
Mm-hmm.
And she enjoys it very much. So it's pretty cool, actually. She has one of her mochute here.
Wow.
So regularly we go because my mom lives in Belgium, of course, but yeah. my wife's mom is here. So she enjoys that. We have sawdust. Well, we don't, but Machute has. My wife still have a grandmother in Ignalina region. So often we go here or there. And she enjoys being in nature. And she likes it very much.
Nice. Yeah. And you mentioned, so she knows Lithuanian and French. And how is your Lithuanian?
Neblogai. Sunku. No, I learned. But before I was learning... because I like Lithuania. Now I have mm-hmm. to really learn because I need to live here. And I took some classes and it's coming. But I never had the chance to practice. So that's my job is French and English. And at home it's three languages. So.
Yeah, it's a mix.
But with my family-in-law, we speak mostly Lithuanian. And if I could be like all people... When you go in a place and you're just... how do you say, immersed in a language
mm-hmm.
where you have no options, you learn super fast because you have to. So if I could have like 2-3 months like this here, I think it would be enough to wrap up everything.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. I mean, just going to like maybe festivals or something mm-hmm. where just a lot of Lithuanian people or yeah, like you said, with your family, the Lithuanian part, it's very good practice.
Yeah. When I know what is the conversation about, then I can more or less follow. But the news, for example, is still a little bit too hard because they speak fast and very mm-hmm. precisely.
Yeah.
But mostly.
Yeah.
It's okay.
Yeah, we have... so now it's becoming more popular to produce, like, well, a little bit of news, but it was a project that ended. But some other things in this, like, easy-to-read language...
Uh-huh.
Do you know about it?
No.
So it's mostly designed for people that have difficulty verbally speaking, or but it's also very good for international people or older mm-hmm. people who have trouble maybe reading. And it's a very simplified language. So, for example, for the last 3 years, the president's speech has been translated into this. The constitution is now being translated. These big projects,
like the important things.
but also different municipalities are encouraged to have all of their websites translated into this either easy to read. It's a bit more complicated because you have to have some people who actually check it and see that it's easy to read. But there's also this plain language, which is also simplified. And I think like municipalities are encouraged to do this. I think it's going to help a lot of people, like international people who are still, you know, it's more difficult to understand the, yeah, more difficult text to really know what's happening, like within your city, if you live outside mm-hmm. of Vilnius as well. So it's kind of moving in that direction a little bit.
That's good for, yeah, indeed. Many people don't understand basic things and it's their own language. What helps me also is watching animations, because there are sometimes subtitles in Lithuanian.
Yeah.
While they actually speak Lithuanian, but there are also subtitles. So I hear the conversation mm-hmm. and I can read what they say. That's very cool.
Yeah. And yeah, as well, with a little louder, you can read simple books together. Yes. And
yes, yes. And she wants now to learn English, because we speak lots of English, of course. So we cannot hide anymore when we talk with my wife about time to go to sleep, or uh-huh. maybe she is tired and she understands.
Yeah,
so she gets it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said it and she immediately looked up. So, yeah, kids are fast, like learning languages.
It's really impressive.
It's a good time to learn.
Yes. And also, you were asking about raising kids here. Moving is not as easy as we think for kids, because we always think that, kids until 6 or 7, they can adapt to everything. Yes, they're super easy to adapt and they go fast, but still, it's a process. I mean, it's still an effort to adapt. It's just that they go faster than us.
Yeah.
Because they are less attached, or they had less time to regret stuff like this, but they still have to make the whole move. Leaving one country to go to another, leaving one machute to see another, it's not easy. Find new friends, leaving places that you know. So, because it's, I think lots of expats are participating to this podcast, I'm sure they can, they resonate with that kind of story. So yes, it's impressive how fast they learn, but I think we had to pay lots of attention to what was happening to her the last 2 years.
Yeah, for sure. It's a difficult process. I was interviewing.
It could be traumatizing for them.
Yeah. You have to be, gentle and delicate with the whole thing. I was interviewing this student who, herself, she's also. As a diplomatic family, her parents are moving around, and she told me about this new term, and then I had a few more people that also talked about it. This is a third culture kid term. So yeah, third culture kid is when you kind of move around and you're living in a new place and you don't exactly identify with maybe where you're from originally or where you're living at that moment, because you're kind of moving around. And there's a lot of people who have this kind of who can relate to that experience now, because of, it becoming more easy to travel and to live abroad. So I think it's very important to also have friends who have that experience. So as a kid, I think it's also like a good idea to find friends who are, who've had that and you can relate a bit more. Yeah. I definitely found that in my experience it's been helpful because you sometimes... Yeah, you see that you're able to communicate better with this person and then you're not exactly sure why, and then you realize they had the same kind of upbringing and you're like, okay, wow, that's the connection we have. And there's a certain thing about it that's, I guess, quite subtle, but I definitely feel it, at least. Or like people who have traveled a lot or people who have lived abroad. There's more people like that these days, so it's a bit easier. But when I was little, I found it a bit hard to relate to kids my own age that haven't had that before.
Of course, because they were always been in the same place. Yeah, I can understand that. And in the choir, to talk again about this, we feel that. Because many, many different stories, different backgrounds, we come from totally different place, but we have one thing in common. Even with students who are just here for a few months, it's already people who like to travel and they have to make friends, they have to discover new cities, new way of living, far from family. Yeah. And you see also Erasmus students, they are friends very quick with each other. Because they have exactly the same... they don't have to explain a lot. They can share. And you feel that in the choir, people are happy to meet every Wednesday, because it's a good place to relax, to find friends. And no stress. Usually expats, they come here either for family reason or for job.
Mm-hmm.
So both stressful.
Yeah.
No, I mean, professional reason. Professional, yeah. I mean, their job can be stressful because it's new, it's far away and so on. So to relax on Wednesday evenings with other people who have the same story, it's very precious.
Mm-hmm.
I had that in Belgium a lot with scouts. There's a big, very popular scouts and girl scouts.
Mm-hmm.
I was leader. We came to Lithuania, of course, when I was leader. And all the people who went to scouts during their childhood and teenage, we immediately could smell them from far away. Not because they smell fire,
yeah.
but because there is this spirit of... of fun or playing, of adapting, of serving. It's very easy to to recognize each other.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that's having a shared experience. It just brings people together. It's nice. It's great that people can have that in your choir. It's like an added bonus
yes.
to it already being fun, I'm sure.
Yeah, and then why people come to a concert or choir? Either they want to see something amazingly beautiful that they never see anywhere else. So they go to professional choirs, to Philharmonia, and it's just fantastic. The emotion is just unique. I love those moments really because it's just out of this world. Or you go to concerts to see someone having fun on stage because he's enjoying. That's why you go see some singers or pop stars. That's why you enjoy seeing people in the streets playing because they just... You see what's happening on stage. It cannot be fake.
Yeah.
And that's what happened for us. Everybody brought their friends, colleagues and stuff, and the room was filled. I was expecting 40 people. We were like 150. And it was crazy. People were cheering all the time, singing. And we had such a great time on stage that this communication was just unique. And I think that is... something authentic that you cannot pretend, cannot build that. It's just it comes spontaneously, and it worked.
Awesome.
So there is no reason to not join the choir.
Yes. Yes. And how about for yourself, like making friends? I guess for choir, it's become easier. But how has that process been in Lithuania?
It was not super easy or super fast. First of all, because my wife and I, we had absolutely no network, just a little family, and that's it.
Yeah.
My colleagues became my first and best friends, basically, because those are the people I was meeting the most. Then I don't know. There's maybe part is Lithuanians because it's like famous that. They're not spontaneously friendly like Italian or if we had to compare, South and North Europe.
Yeah.
And but this is not entirely true. If you try to speak, you see immediately people are super welcoming and extremely touched, and so they would help.
Mm-hmm.
Part of it was also COVID, I think, because the whole world forgot how to make friends.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
And maybe we learn how to enjoy our little bubble of comfort, and so that was hard. Then we moved in the winter, so we had to wait a few months to see people. But then more and more we are meeting people, for example, in music, or my wife is a yoga teacher, so in her field of activity as well. Because we need to connect with people also with who we have an interest. It's not only that we can meet people and talk, but we have to be willing to meet them again.
Mm-hmm.
So... but it's okay. I think it's been less than 2 years that we are here, and we've met an incredible amount of people.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that it takes time to just settle and not sort your friends, but it takes time. It takes months and years to see who you really have a connection with, who wants to see you again, who you want to share a cup of tea or a holiday. No, I'm pretty happy about that. And in Belgium, as I told you, it's such a big, one big village that everybody knows everybody.
Yeah.
It's crazy. We say that everybody knows everyone with a separation of three people.
Mm-hmm.
So you know someone knows someone, and these two people have someone in common. That's Belgium.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit overwhelming sometimes, especially if you work like me in music. You play for one choir, it's 40 people. One church is 100 people. Another one is... So you're quickly thinking you have lots of friends, but actually just know many people, that's it.
Yeah.
Friends is different.
Yeah, for sure. Relationships take time to build and develop. And
I believe your podcast is actually helping many people to connect.
I hope so. we also organize, like I told you, a bit like this, some meetups for people who have been on the podcast. So it's also nice. Like people have definitely become, well, at least have told me that they met outside of the activities I organized, and I'm very happy about that. Or just people finding out about a certain person that maybe they have something in common with and they can get in touch.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's always nice to be able to meet people and share some common interests, or maybe if you're in the same phase of your life and just find someone. So that's something I like to do. I like to bring people together. So I'm hoping that this is something that comes out of this as well.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was a good surprise for me after a few rehearsals to see people being happy to meet the next Wednesday and to hug or when people left after a couple months to go back home. People were sad really to leave, or people would go on holiday just 2 months, summer, back home, and then, okay guys, see you in September. Yeah. And you see that there is a deep connection. People were happy to meet, sad to leave, and I was like, wow. Then we started to organize drinks outside the rehearsals once or twice. And often I think to myself, this is just magic. You feel a little bit useful, because as you say, you bring people together. Then the rest is just out of control.
Yeah.
And of course it matches people. I cannot believe that people would come in the same place, especially expats, that would suddenly, out of all Europe and even further, be the same Wednesday evening in the same room, just for no reason.
Yeah.
There must be something in the background.
Of course. And how about living in Vilnius? How have you been finding that?
It's the first time I live in a city, and it's not super easy. I love Vilnius. It's beautiful. Every day I take the bus. I don't take the bus every day, but every time I take the bus to go to work, I have a glimpse on Gediminopolis.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, wow, I'm just living in a beautiful place.
Mm.
When I go pick up my wife, she works also in the center, in the toy museum, and it's right in front of the cathedral.
Oh, yeah.
I say, wow, I'm just driving here, and it's just... always beautiful. It's very peaceful, quiet, clean, green. So it's really, really not the hardest city to live.
Yeah.
I would not like to live in New York or Tokyo or London, but I've never tried, but I don't think I would. Here it's quite nice. But eventually we might go closer to nature later on.
But then in Lithuania to move somewhere?
Yes, yes. That would be... better for us. We feel that our environment would be more uplifting that way. Although Renata, she lived in Tokyo suburbs of Tokyo for many years. She loved it.
Okay.
She's a city girl.
Okay.
From Panevėžys. And me not. But we think that it needs at least 3 years to make sure you understood the place you live in.
Yeah.
And so it's been now almost two. So one more and we will see for real. There are lots of possibilities and opportunities in a city like Vilnius. But I don't know, I miss quiet and uplifting surroundings.
Mm. Yeah, I actually just visited a friend on Monday who also, 2 years ago, right at the beginning of the pandemic, they bought, what's it called? Basically a farmhouse, a garden house, but in the countryside, an old one, doesn't have running water or anything, has all of these extra buildings that used to have house maybe animals or something like this. And they just bought it and moved and been slowly renovating it and love it, and it's really the closest village is not so far away, but still they're closest neighbor is half a kilometer away, and it's an old lady. so it's a very different lifestyle than living in Vilnius or any city.
Yeah, but
definitely has the other benefits. We have a greenhouse, garden, and lots of land, lots of freedom for their own creative projects that they do. So,
wow. Yeah. I'm just jealous just listening to you. No, I don't know, because everybody has to find his own place, and not everybody could fit in remote areas.
Yeah, for sure.
Especially if you want to be yoga teacher, music teacher, or organize cultural events, you need an audience, so you need to be not far from populated area.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is a place for everyone.
Švenčionėliai, you should look into it if you haven't already.
It's close to Ignalina, no?
Yeah. So it's like a booming new place where people are kind of moving from the city, moving there, and a lot of artists and organizing events, and it has a train connection.
Yeah.
So you can take a train, and they just building it up and completely redoing this town. It's a small town.
Mm-hmm.
It's next to the Labanoro forest.
So yes.
It's beautiful nature. And yeah, I've been there. You can go there for they have this co-working space. You can go there, check it out.
Oh.
So it's very, very
like
nice.
A forest center or something. I've heard about that, no?
I don't know. They have a forest center. They have this co-working space right at the train station. They kind of transformed part of the train station into a co-working space and a new cafe. I think the municipality is going to be working with them to transform this other old train building where they were fixing trains into also this artist studios. So yeah, I know they're the community members there, and they're very active, and they just they moved there 5 years ago, and now it's completely changing. They organize concerts and things there. And it's great. It's pretty cool. So definitely, it's also not far from the city, and you can take a train. So it's a nice kind of middle ground with living remotely, but also having access to a lot of culture.
Sounds like a great trip for a choir.
Yeah?
We'll take the train, we go there, we have a concert, maybe a day or two of practice.
Yeah, no, they do. They have this, so there's this area, it used to be a lumber mill, where they were cutting the wood.
Okay.
And now it's a concerts there. They had this band, or I think come from somewhere in Africa, and they did three concerts in Vilnius, in Klaipėda, and in Švenčionėliai.
Wow.
So it was a
place to be.
Yeah. they convinced, and they can get they can talk with the train, so they get the train to come and pick, take people and take people away. So it's
it's
nice.
Really cool.
Yeah. Definitely check it out. Miško Uostas is the community forest port.
Mm-hmm.
So very, very cool. I can introduce you.
I will be glad.
Yeah, they're very cool. So yeah, definitely alternative lifestyles are very possible.
Yes, and needed. Mm. We believe, but I don't know how it will be possible for us, but in communities, small communities, with project, whatever it can be, but that gathers people. Everybody, of course, can live his own life, but something, and when you share more than now, because we cannot just leave everybody individually.
Mm-hmm.
We can share land, we can share work, we can share tasks, watching the kids or or whatever, cleaning. Or we can share a time together, and of course friendship.
Mm-hmm.
There's really not nothing else but having good friends to live with so far.
Yeah, for sure. So living in a community, that's something that you want to explore?
Yes, really. That's a community or a place where people can gather. That's something I always wanted to have, to do. Mostly for cultural events or sharing time and friendship. Of course, my wife, yoga teacher, me with music, activities, we need people, we need place, we need a yoga room, we need a piano in the middle of a concert room, stuff like this. So I would really love that, some place to sleep. Whether we do that with people as a community or for people who would come as guests, that we will see. I have really no idea nor when, nor if, or how. That's the goal. And our motto would be simple living, high thinking. Mm-hmm. It's not from us, but it's from communities called Ananda. That's where Renata learned yoga. Mm-hmm. Comes from America. And now it's in Europe. They are based in Assisi in Italy. And their inspiration is really this simple living, high thinking. So don't be attached too much. Of course, it's from yogic teaching. So don't be attached. Don't accumulate too much. But still, it doesn't mean that you have to live with nothing or for no reason. And often today, those alternative way of life, they think that they can get rid also of comfort, materialistic success, beauty, stuff like that. But no, ecology doesn't mean dirty. It doesn't mean no comfort. No, today we can do many, many things that we should use the opportunities of our age. Mm-hmm. But we should not be overwhelmed with all the things that are around us. So simple living, yes, but high thinking. So uplift your environment, your thoughts, and try every day to have a useful day, basically.
That's nice.
It's easy to say. It's nothing new, nothing revolutionary, but it's hard to achieve, I think, really.
It can be, but yeah, slowly if you move towards it. I mean, I also have some friends who were living in Lithuania for a while, and now they wanted to explore different ways of living, and they just went off to volunteer in different communities and different projects in France. I still haven't seen them since they went off to do this. I'm not sure where they will settle now, but I followed them a bit on Facebook. They were posting about the experience, and it was, it's like you're not sure what you like, you go explore, you try new things, yes. And eventually you'll get there.
Maybe not everyone, but you see, there are lots of people looking for something like this. Mm. So it's the time of, there is no answers yet, and it's not, it's always an adventure for everyone. But, and especially in Lithuania, I think it's a very, let's say, spiritual country. Maybe it's from the deep paganic roots or the thousand-year-old history that the people are now exploring and try to reconnect with their land, their nature, their identity. And I see a lot, like, really, it was a surprise for us when we came here. Lots of camps, workshops, webinars, of all kinds of things, really. It's just endless. In Vilnius and elsewhere, all around the country. It's really unique in Lithuania, I think. I've never seen that in other places. And you see that all of these are connected to one same goal, is to look for something a little bit more simple, a little bit more true, more authentic, that connects to who they really are in their inner self. And you see that most of us are confusing. We don't know.
Yeah.
So there is no lessons to give, or there's just lessons to learn, really. But if someone tells you that he has the answer, or just run away. But if you want to look for the answers, just go for it.
So there's a question I ask everyone on this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
It's to say what living in Lithuania means to you, and how you would explain living in Lithuania in three words. So it can be three separate words or a small sentence of three words, whatever.
What does it mean to me to live in Lithuania?
Yeah, just describing living in Lithuania. Yeah, for you. Or three words that represent maybe what living here is like.
But one word that comes to mind is dream, because it's a long, old dream that I had, and it came true. I want to say it resembles me. It looks like me. I think I'm made for that. It's a magical story that brought me here. So I cannot. Yeah. I can look back and say, okay, it is a miracle, and I cannot run away from my own path. It brought me here. So it's a fulfillment.
Mm.
And then I would say hope. hope for a better future for mm-hmm. everyone, because I have my daughter here, so mm-hmm. she will be mostly Lithuanian. Of course, she will be both, but my couple's life, my family life is going to bloom here completely. So I don't know what's ahead, but it will be in Lithuania. So yeah, mm-hmm. I have lots of hope.
Oh, that's nice. Okay, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being on the podcast. It was really a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you. And so I'm waiting for lots of phone calls from people to join the choir.
Yes, yes.
And that would be very nice.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening. For more conversations like this one, subscribe to the podcast or let's connect on the Living in Lithuania Facebook or Instagram pages. If you enjoyed listening, please consider supporting the podcast on Contribee. All supporters are added to a private community and invited to join meetups and events. If you or anyone you know would like to be on the podcast, feel free to get in touch. Until next time.